Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon, Prudence.
Brother Maloti, good afternoon.
How are you this afternoon?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. And thank you so much for joining us again. I hope your day has been a good one. Can you hear me, Prudence?
I can hear you now. Sorry about that. I had lost you.
Oh, okay. No, I was just checking if you've had a good day.
Yes, I did. Thank you so much.
Lovely, lovely. Well, we continue to talk about the long-term impact of divorce on children in their young adult years. And today's focus is on methodology and the findings of the study. But please tell us what this is about, and if you can, perhaps just do a brief recap of what we discussed last week.
Yeah, so thank you so much. So last week we spoke about the theoretical framework through which we used to analyze the study, the findings of the study, which is the social constructionism. And social constructionism basically says that people construct their own meanings based on what is happening in their environment and also their own processes of how they process things. And this helped us to then understand the findings that we'll be discussing in today's section.
So today, what are we looking at? Methodology and findings?
So today, we'll look at the findings. I'll go through the findings. But before I do that, I'll just take you briefly through the methodology so that you get an understanding of how we came about to get all of this information.
All right.
So the study was titled Young Adult Perception of How Parental Divorce During Childhood Has Influenced Adult Functioning. And we did a quantitative study where we did in-depth interviews that lasted for about 60 to 90 minutes each for each participant. So we interviewed participants that were from Gauteng that were young adults. That means that they ranged between the ages of 19 and 25. And with each of them, we were able to have semi-structured interviews where we then found out from them what the process was like and how they were doing more specifically in their young adulthood. So the sample consisted of six participants. Two of the participants, their parents divorced in childhood, which means below the ages of 12. And the four, their parents divorced when they were in adolescence. And all of them, they were reflecting on how this experience influenced or impacted them in childhood, but also how it impacted them in young adulthood. As we go through the findings, there's three categories that I just want to briefly go through for the purposes of today. One will be the impact before and during the divorce. That's the first one. And then we'll look at the impact on childhood and adolescent. And then lastly, we'll then look at the impact on young adulthood.
Okay.
So this is what we found. And I think this is probably the most exciting part of the series because it gives us what we've been building toward, you know. So before and during the divorce, this is what we found. The first thing, the reason for the divorce. So the participants all explained to us what they felt the reasons was for the divorce. Half of the participants indicated that the reason of the divorce was infidelity from the father's side. And the other half indicated reasons that were associated with emotional abuse, parental childhood trauma. And one of the participants indicated that their mother was just unhappy, you know. And I suppose that's how mom explained the reason for the divorce to them. So what was common for the four participants out of the six is that their mother initiated the process of divorce after an unpleasant experience, either from the infidelity or the emotional abuse, but that the mother was the one that initiated. One of the participants indicated that because of the trauma that had been happening within the household, she was the one that initiated the process of divorce for their parents, you know. She decided that she was going to pack the stuff for dad, and they took all of dad's stuff to where dad was, you know, and they knew where dad was. So even though mothers were seen to be mostly the people that were initiating the divorce, there was a participant, and we'll talk more specifically to the participant when we get to the other part in terms of what drove her to doing this. But in terms of the preparation, whether or not we wanted to find out whether or not the children were prepared for the divorce. You know, mm-hmm. Both the participants reported that their parents prepared them for the divorce.
Okay.
By conversation, you know, they were able to tell them that this is what's going to happen. There's going to be such changes that are going to follow. But it's unclear from the data how having the conversation helped mitigate some of the consequences of the negative consequences, that is, in terms of how it impacted them and how they constructed and made sense of what was happening. You know, but it is coming that some participants were prepared. In fact, more than half were prepared, you know. And there was emotions, mixed emotions of both disappointment and relief. The participants that indicated that they picked up on the conflict on the family that was leading to the divorce, you know. However, even if they could see that there was tension, there's something that's not going on leading to the divorce, the news of the divorce caused great disappointment for both in childhood and adolescence, you know. So the participants were able to say that, you know, we knew that the parents were not okay, they were having some tension, but still, we were still disappointed from the divorce. The intact family was only constructed of their world that participants knew, you know. So this was the only thing that they knew, and it was difficult for them to construct a different world and a different view of how the world functions following the divorce. And this might have been what was disappointing the most in the divorce itself.
You know, but before you continue,
of course,
before you continue,
yes.
Prudence, I noticed that you're saying that they were disappointed. I would have thought at that age they'd probably be hurt.
So yeah, the disappointment comes strongly as a result of the fact that we knew that something was wrong,
I see.
And this was from the participants, the four participants that says they could pick up on the conflict, they were aware that the parents were fighting, but even though they knew that, they were still disappointed, you know. They still didn't expect that the parents would separate or divorce in this case, you know. But there was two participants that reported relief, you know.
Okay.
And the one was the one that initiated the process, and the other one was then someone else that also reported that because of the conflict and everything that was happening, it was better that my parents would be separated, you know. In terms of family structure change, before the divorce, all the parents lived with both mom and dad. And following the divorce, the changes that followed in the family structure, three of the six participants lived with mom, and dad did not live with them. One of the participants lived neither with mom or dad and lived with their grandparents, you know. So you could see that father involvement decreased quite significantly with almost all the participants, and the relationship with father also decreased, and the quality of that was not so great anymore, you know. So, but what was interesting was that even though most of the participants lived with mom, there was very, all the participants indicated that relationships with mom increased in tension, and that there was not closeness with mom, even though they lived with mom at the time of the divorce. So you can see that the quality of the parent-child relationship was impacted for both parents, irrespective of who was staying with the child. Now, if we look at the impact of the divorce in childhood and adolescent, one, the children indicated that they got involved in the conflict of the parents, you know, and this is now following the divorce, immediately after the divorce in childhood and adolescent.
Okay.
The children reported that they became drawn into the conflict that took place between mom and dad. You know, there are participants that indicated that the parents would start talking through them, you know, and this was conversations that they never used to have before, like, you know, needing to ask for school things, and the parents were not talking to each other, and this put a lot of strain on them, and they then became drawn into the conflict, you know. There was one participant, and this is the participant that even initiated the divorce, because she says that she was the one that needed to stand up for her mom, because her mom had endured so much abuse in the relationship, you know. She was the one that needed to complete forms for maintenance, and so that the father could continue to maintain them. So she was, in fact, on the driver's seat of everything, of all the conflict that was happening in the home. But even though the others were not so instrumental, you know, but they were still drawn into the divorce and rather into the conflict, and this negatively impacted their functioning in childhood. Although these conflicts were different, you know, but they all weighed heavily on the participants. Another thing that came out was that there was a difficulty in the parent-child relationship. So this was indicated when we spoke about the first aspect, that the participants, the majority of them lived with mom, but even the relationship with mom was not so great, you know. There was very strong tension that arose. They would fight a lot with mom. They would fight with the other siblings. There was just a lot of negative emotions that were not managed adequately that impacted on the quality of the relationship itself. But the children, or rather the participants, reported that in childhood and adolescence, they experienced negative emotions because of the divorce. You know, the changes experienced after the divorce resulted in experiences of negative emotions. They described that the impact of the parental divorce on their emotional well-being gave them experiences of anger, experiences of anxiety, sadness, and being unsettled, you know, not knowing where they belong and not knowing where home is. So there was negative emotion and a loss of a sense of belonging. They also experienced loneliness and isolation because they didn't know which parent do we go to now. The parent that we stay with, there's tension. The parent that is away, there's disconnection because he's not here. And this led them to feeling isolated and feeling lonely. Most of the participants reported that they didn't know who to communicate these emotions with, you know. They didn't have anyone who was a sort of support, or rather anyone that they could trust, because it seemed when we discussed the adult functioning that there were other people who were there. But in childhood, they themselves isolated themselves, and this made them to feel lonely because they couldn't trust the people that were seemingly around them at the time. There was a significant drop in self-esteem and self-confidence. This was during childhood and adolescence, where all of them reported, not all of them, a majority of them reported that they felt that they didn't have the self-confidence that they used to have and that their self-esteem had been diminished. There was one participant that we'll talk to more specifically, this participant, when we speak about it, when we talk about the adult functioning.
Okay.
That she says that her father left and she stayed with mom. And before the divorce, dad played a very instrumental part in her having her confidence. Dad would intrigue thoughts to her. Dad would not intrigue but provoke certain thoughts to her that made her feel confident. Dad would read with her, help her with homework. And when dad left, mom was unable to fill that gap, probably because of other responsibilities that she had. And she felt that gap, and her self-esteem and confidence dropped a lot. But in adulthood, this specific participant was able to reconcile with dad. And she says that when they did, this was when she was doing matric, you know, and her confidence spiked. She was able to pass well. Academically, she did better. She was able to apply to university. She got accepted. And even in university, she continued to do well. And she attributes that to the presence of her father in her life. Academic impact. So what was interesting was that most of the participants, with the exception of this one with dad, were able to do so much better in academics. And they described this by saying that they didn't have anything else to do. They didn't have anyone to talk to. Everything was just so, it seemed like everything was falling apart except for academics. So they buried themselves in academics. And as a result, they did well academically. They strived academically. So academics or academic functioning seemed to be a mitigating factor in terms of dealing and managing with the impact of divorce. I've covered the changes in the family structure. So when it comes to jump in.
I just wanted to check, as I'm listening to different elements of some changes that occurred in their lives, would it be correct to say that the general quality of life for these children at the time dropped, or not necessarily?
Yes, all of the children, none of them, or rather all of the young people that we interviewed, none of them indicated that during childhood they experienced any positive emotion. Most of what they experienced was negative impact of the divorce. And this was probably because they were still children, you know. And it seemed like the parents themselves did not position themselves also in a position where they were aiding the children to help them manage the emotions that they were going through.
Right. Yeah.
In terms of impact on young adulthood, sorry about that.
That's all right.
So now, so initially when we spoke to them, the conversation was two parts, you know. We wanted to go into, as a child, how did you process this, you know? And that's what we found. But we also wanted to say, okay, now as an adult, how are you doing? How are you processing? How are you dealing with the fact that your parents got divorced when you were still a child? And these are the things that came out. Number one, the impact on the parent-child relationship. So four of the participants indicated that there was a positive change in their relationship with their mothers. Remember, most of the participants lived with mom and not with dad. And during childhood, the relationship, the quality of the relationship dropped significantly. But in young adulthood, they are saying the relationship had positive change. Some of them did say that, you know, we are not so close with mom, but we are going, we are getting there. The relationship is growing. We are able to talk. We are able to do this and that, you know. And they described their relationship with their father as either non-existent. This was two participants. I said the relationship was non-existent. Two described the relationship as cold and distant, and the other said that the relationship had improved with their father. So you can see that even though the relationship with mom is increasing positively, that with dad, even in adulthood, was still cold and distant and not so great. In terms of negative emotions, remember in childhood, these participants reported that they experienced negative emotions. So in adulthood, four of the participants who have relationship difficulties with their fathers in young adulthood, all currently presented with negative emotions. So remember, we said that the relationship with dad was not so great. And we see that it's those participants that don't have a relationship with their father in young adulthood who are currently experiencing negative emotions. So the participants that were experiencing positive emotions were only the two that had good relationships with their fathers at the time of the interview. So one participant told us that, you know, her mother really tried. You know, now as an adult, she was able to reflect back that even though it was difficult, my mother tried. And the reason why right now I'm doing so well is because even today, she says, even the last time that we spoke 2 days ago, she said to me, okay, this is, I'm quoting now the data, and she says, she still tells me she's like, what your father and I went through is not your story. You know, you need to write your own story. This was my story and your father's story, you know. So the mother, this mother, we see that she was trying to distance her own identity and her story from that of the child, allowing the child to be able to construct her own identity outside of the fact that I'm a child of divorced parents. And we can see that this benefited this specific participant so greatly, because she was one of the participants that was doing better than most, you know. But in terms of emotional functioning, we found that the participant that was very instrumental in instigating the divorce of a parent was still not doing so well, you know. Remember in the beginning we said that there was that participant, and there was also the participant that didn't live with either parents and lived with grandparents. Those two participants did not do well even in young adulthood. And we see that it's because one, the one that instigated the, that proposed the divorce rather, is the participant, this participant, the divorce happened in adulthood, you know. It had happened 2 years ago. So the time period, you know, she had not had sufficient time to heal, but also because she was so overly involved in the divorce of the parent, it was difficult for her to be able to go through the developmental stage of adolescence and create her own identity, because she was so involved in the process of adulthood itself. So she was the worst in terms of emotional functioning, and emotionally she was not doing well. In terms of social functioning, the study found that half of the participants indicated an improvement in their social functioning in adulthood. So while they didn't do so good in social functioning because of the decreased self-esteem and confidence issues that they went through during childhood. Mm-hmm. In young adulthood, they were making more friends. They were really trying to put themselves out there. And we can see that a positive mother-child relationship was closely linked to this, because the children that had a mother-child, positive mother-child relationships were the ones that indicated a positive social functioning in young adulthood. Something that also came out was the issue of a sense of belonging. In addition to the poor emotional functioning, the young adults indicated that in young adulthood, they do not know where they belong, you know. Because most of the participants were university students, they reported that, you know, when university closes and I think about going home, sometimes I don't know where home is. Because remember, the family structure disintegrated.
Yes.
Mom moved this side, dad moved this side. It's like I'm going to my dad's place and I'm going to my mom's place, but I don't know where I belong, you know. So they had a missing sense of belonging and a displacement in terms of the family structure. Because some of them, some of the parents had already remarried, there's other children, and they just feel like, you know, well, I'm just me. So there was the sense of belonging.
Lost sense of belonging.
In young adulthood. There's also difficulty in relationships, and this is more specific to romantic relationships. Some of the participants had got in and out of relationships, you know, but they were struggling to build trust within relationships. Remember, especially when it comes to romantic relationships, and more so for marriage, there's a level to which you need to trust, you know, because we don't know what will happen tomorrow. So the young adults in the study indicated that they don't trust that if they give themselves over to this person, they will have a successful relationship and a successful marriage after. So they were still grappling with the idea of intimate relationship and how to navigate in that field. But all of them indicated that they are struggling, they are unable to last in relationships, they are in and out of relationships, and relationships, romantic relationships more specifically, are very difficult for all of them. And you can see that this indicates that children over-identify with the divorce of their parents.
Yeah.
And in adulthood, they feel, or rather they have a fear, that this will be my story. In terms of independence, which is the last one, the study found that participants have developed independence and personal growth, you know. And this is because of the difficulties that they experienced and had to navigate following the divorce of their parents. Remember, after the disintegration of the family structure, there was a lot of responsibilities that they took on, you know. And now they are all saying that, you know, because of the things that happened with my parents, I'm now more independent. At school, I'm able to take initiative with my studies. I'm able to do 1, 2, 3, which I might not have been able to do had I not gone through what I did with my parents.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those were the findings.
Wow, quite interesting. You know, there's quite a few things I really wanted to, you know, get into. Our time is completely fast spent. And I think our next guest is already waiting on the sidelines. For instance, the lost sense of belonging, which I think was a very critical one. I wanted to dig a little deep into that, and also the issues with, you know, relationships, and especially the trust issues. But perhaps we can have a look at those the next time we have a conversation.
I think we can, because the recommendations are not very long. It's just a few bullets that I'm just going to run through. So maybe we can just start there in our next and final session next week.
Okay, fine. Thank you so much, Prudence.
Right.
Blessings to you.
Thank you so much, Brother Zama. Have a lovely evening. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.